Thank you so much, Ambassador Wells, for joining us.
No, it's good to see you at UNGA. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be here, actually, on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly. It's going to open tomorrow, but for Central Asia, it already started.
Absolutely.
With yesterday's event, when Secretary Mike Pompeo met the foreign ministers of all five countries, we believe at least all five were represented.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yes. I remember this was Secretary Pompeo's first meeting
right.
of his week
yes.
at the UN, and so it was a great kickoff. And it came just a few weeks after we had what we call a C5 meeting in the region in Nur-Sultan with Undersecretary Hale. And so the first thing I would point to is the fact that we're meeting so frequently and at such a high level in this format really shows the utility and the depth of the relations that we're building, not just bilaterally between the United States and Uzbekistan, but more broadly within the region, which is good for the region and good for us.
How long was the meeting?
The meeting was an hour, so it was very lively. There were terrific conversations that touched on foreign terrorist fighters, on economic connectivity, on border security. Obviously, the situation in Afghanistan came up as it factors into both security as well as opportunity on the economic side. It was a very, I've attended these meetings before, and I would say that over the last 2 years, we have so much work that we've built on. We're holding seminars in the region, working groups, we're meeting at lower levels, at higher levels, on really practical issues that affect, the lives of our citizens. And that's always positive to see as a diplomat.
C5 plus one has now been around for about 5 years.
It started in 2015. We very much promoted it because we thought that after 25 years or so of independence, it was the right time for the individual countries of Central Asia to also think about their collective identity and how to work together as a region. Congress supported us. We received about $15 million just to do some seed programs, seminars, projects, looking again at economic connectivity, soft barriers to trade, countering violent extremism, very practical subjects that both of our countries are very interested in. And then it just gained momentum. And I think it's gained momentum as we're also trying very hard to bring Afghanistan back into the neighborhood in a productive and safe way. So I think intense interest on all sides.
So when the governments in the region discuss or talk about C5 plus one, they refer to the fact that the United States has this powerful convening power.
Mm-hmm.
So U.S. brings everyone to the table. Of course, they say that they're talking to each other bilaterally, but
right.
they like to sit around the same table with the United States and talk about common interests. You have always argued that this is an effective format. What specifically makes it substantive, I guess? Because now after, let's say, if it started in 2015, it's 4 to 5 years, we could assess the effectiveness of it, right?
Well, what makes it very effective are the reforms that President Mirziyoyev has undertaken in Uzbekistan. I mean, really, it took the opening up of Uzbekistan. It took the sort of the good neighbor policy of President Mirziyoyev to resolve whether it was border differences or trade differences, to welcome the kinds of connectivity, to welcome the opportunity of connecting the region, whether it's south through Afghanistan, but also more broadly recreating the Silk Road goal and raison d'etre of Central Asia.
So give kind of sort of like a push, right?
He gave it a punch. And so and it was a great punch. And so we've seen tremendous progress since President Mirziyoyev brought this very fresh attitude. I also think it was time. Again, the countries of the region had created these very separate, distinct, sovereign entities. And then there's a power to a regional identity. And when you look at something that's practical like trade, Central Asian countries travel or trade very, very little amongst one another. It's among the lowest in the world. And so what are the practical steps that can be taken to ease those trade flows so that all the countries prosper from increased economic activity?
Well, some argue that this, Central Asians need to create a bloc, a forum of a union to make it, to make this attempts to integrate as a region more effective. Would U.S. support anything like that if they wanted to form a bloc?
A bloc sounds very formal, and it sounds like you're excluding people. And I think that the Central Asian countries, like all countries, have many different identities. I mean, your members, you know, some of the Central Asian countries, or I think all are members of the Shanghai group. You know, some have partnership programs with NATO. Some are part of CSTO. Some are part of the Eurasian Economic Union. The intense bilateral relations with us, with the European Union. So no one's trying to say there's only one Central Asian identity, but I think what's important is that it's not just the United States that's meeting with the C5. It's the EU, it's the Japanese, it's I think the South Koreans, because it's frankly a very pragmatic platform to discuss issues that are of mutual interest to the region.
Well, we watched your recent testimony in the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs, and you talked at length about Trump administration's Afghanistan policy. As you know, the region watches very closely the situation in Afghanistan, and we've been watching Uzbekistan revamping its diplomacy towards Afghanistan. They've been talking to all the parties,
right,
including the Taliban. They're hedging, obviously. They want to make sure that there are no tensions. They have friends with all the relevant parties in the neighborhood. Does that line up with your interests? Were you concerned when Uzbeks, let's say, were seen as cozying up with the Taliban recently, or?
Oh, not. There's no concern about cozying up. I think what we've seen from President Mirziyoyev and his hosting of the Tashkent Peace Conference is a real active efforts by the government of Uzbekistan to support peace and to support whether it's President Ghani, who rolled out a Kabul peace plan that then your government amplified, whether it's the work of Foreign Minister Kamilov and Ambassador Agashev, your special envoy for Afghanistan, to really try to do the nuts and bolts diplomacy to make sure that Uzbekistan's able to deliver the right messages and encouragement, you know, to the Taliban to do the right thing. And in this instance, as you heard me testify before our Congress, the right thing is to lower violence. So the kind of violence that we've seen in the last couple of weeks against civilians really has given the wrong message. It was a message of intimidation rather than a message of moving forward into a peace framework. And so I think there's a very important role for the countries of the region and certainly for Uzbekistan to, again, be that honest broker in what's going to make the region come together to be stable and at peace.
It's clear that Uzbekistan doesn't want the United States to leave Afghanistan. They make it very clear. I'm sure they mentioned that in your conversations, for example. I'm sure you talked about this yesterday too. We hear that the Trump administration is working on a new strategy for Central Asia. Is
yes,
that something happening?
We've long had, I think, I would say we've had strategies before with Central Asia. The Trump administration is going to be putting out an unclassified version of a strategy towards Central Asia. Other friends of yours, like the European Union, have also put out strategies. And I think what you'll notice when the strategy does come out is the degree of continuity in our objectives. I mean, first and foremost, we support your country and the countries of Central Asia's territorial integrity and sovereignty. You know, we were the first to recognize the independence of the Central Asian states, and we will continue to be an advocate for your country's development as an independent and sovereign nation, and as a nation that is democratizing and modernizing, as a nation that is seeking to grow its economy, including through increased trade with the United States and U.S. companies, you know, as countries that seek to counter violent extremism, counterterrorism, and to, you know, and to ensure that the scourge of, you know, nuclear proliferation doesn't affect the region. And so I think there are going to be many currents that will be very familiar to you because our interests are enduring. And we're in Central Asia. We're in great partnerships in Central Asia, and we don't want to leave Central Asia.
So, you know, listening to you, I'm thinking that you definitely see President Mirziyoyev as a reliable partner, mm-hmm, with whom you renewed your strategic partnership with Uzbekistan last year when President Mirziyoyev came to Washington. And about a year ago when we talked at the State Department, you told me that you see him as a reformer, as someone who's leading his country on a different path. Is he delivering? Do you see him as an effective reformer so far?
Right. Well, I think we do see President Mirziyoyev as a modernizer, as somebody who's looking to bring Uzbekistan into a new era. I think it's ultimately Uzbeks who are going to decide whether he's an effective reformer. But what we have seen is words followed by action. And so if you look at our relationship and how it's evolving, you know, we, assuming Congress does the approval and the allocation, we'll be providing, you know, up to $20 million in additional military assistance. We're bringing in $30 million to help support educational reform programs. We're looking at how we can support the government's support for less advantaged schools. For school feeding programs. You know, we're trying to respond to all of the signals that we're receiving. Technical assistance as your government navigates World Trade Organization membership, detailed conversations on freedom of religion and trafficking in persons, you know, trying to support some of the bold steps your government is taking to eliminate child and forced labor in the workplace. And we welcome and respect that partnership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any challenges do you see for yourself?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, I remember reading one of President Mirziyoyev's speeches, and I think it was pages and pages, right?
Long speeches. He gives big, like 3 to 4 hours of speeches.
It's a big, bold vision. And so attacking everything is a challenge. And so I think we want to be helpful. We want to provide the technical assistance. We want to work with other partners, whether it's the EU, the UN, the World Bank, other countries of the region, to make sure that we're providing the kind of support that allows Uzbekistan to make this transition. And but we recognize it's a difficult one. There'll be setbacks. We're going to continue to speak quite candidly about what we see. We write human rights reports, and we write, you know, trafficking in persons reports, and, you know, counterterrorism, economic reform. It will always be, I think, a very straight shooting kind of partner. But we do it in a real spirit of partnership and the desire to collaborate.
So we have seen some changes in Uzbekistan. We have seen some changes in Kazakhstan, specifically for the last 1 year. And your interests, as you just described, remain the same. But how are you setting your priorities? What are your priorities? Are they changing based on the changes on the ground?
Well, I think it's important to see leadership transitions that are stable, that provide, you know, for that create new opportunities, obviously, but that also that the region remains a stable place where, you know, business can be done, investment can be made, reforms can be done in an atmosphere where everybody benefits. And so that's very important signal that's being sent to the international community. Here in New York, I'm having the opportunity to participate in a variety of business council meetings with countries. You know, there is significant interest among the business community. Secretary Ross led a certified trade delegation to Uzbekistan following President Mirziyoyev's meeting with the president. We're looking at ways to give our companies the right information, but also to make sure that the levers that we have to promote trade, whether it's our development finance institutions, our trade and development agency, our overseas private investment corporation, you know, that all of these organizations are working in harmony so that we can assist in, you know, taking advantage of what is a historic opening in the region.
Going back to yesterday's conversation between Secretary Pompeo and the foreign ministers of Central Asia, the big sort of headline that came out of that meeting was that Pompeo asked Central Asian governments to resist China's requests to extradite Uyghurs. How accurate is that? Because we weren't there. We just want to know how much time was spent on the Uyghur issue in yesterday's conversation.
Well, I think you saw in the public comments that Secretary Pompeo was very blunt that the issue involving the Uyghurs is not an issue of terrorism. I mean, this is a human rights issue. And so we do urge all of the countries of the region to respect the fact that, you know, Uyghurs are being oppressed and often at great danger in the treatment they're receiving at the hands of their government. But the meeting was a very broad meeting. I think I would say one of the headlines that came out of that meeting was the fact that the Central Asian states are are really at the forefront of grappling with, you know, foreign terrorist fighters, the return of fighters and family members and children, how to responsibly reintegrate, as well as do the responsible level of prosecution for those who are guilty of crimes. And we are all going to be looking to and learning from the Central Asian countries as they grapple with this challenge.
And what was the response from the Central Asians? Because they don't really talk much about the Uyghurs.
I think that they listened carefully to what Secretary Pompeo had to say, and we appreciate that.
Ambassador Wells, thank you so much for this conversation.
No, thank you, and it's always great to see you here at New York on the margins of the General Assembly.
Thank you so much, and see you in Washington.
Inshallah.